Greetings, Webcology listeners. The ecosystem of the web marketing world is always changing. Technology, and more importantly, radio is evolving. Introducing the next evolution of radio technology for web marketers, the webmasterradio.fm mobile app for iPhone and Android. Listen live, download new shows daily, and stay connected through our social media network. Download the webmasterradio.fm mobile app in the iTunes Store or in Google Play now.
Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology here on webmasterradio.fm. It's 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific time on a freezing cold Thursday afternoon here in Toronto. And you actually have half the dose of Webcology because Dave Davies is off with his family gallivanting down a ski hill in Whistler. So in fact, I just got a text message from him via Skype. Oh dude, sorry, on the ski hill. Forgot. So, like, that happened, like, 15 minutes ago. So, Brasco and I scrambled, and we got a couple excellent co-hosts. So friends, Dave's away, but you're getting two for the price of one. We have Terry Van Horn and Tom Craver, both on the line. Now, Tom just got off a SEW Weekly, the show preceding ours. So, dude, thank you for volunteering to jump on. I know it's exhausting doing a show. So, Tom's going to be around for half an hour with us, and he has a meeting to get off to. But, Terry, you're around for the full hour, right?
Sure, nothing better to do.
Well, it's going to be a fun show. There's a lot that happened in tech this week. Not exactly sure where I want to go with it. But, you know, I want to start with this. I think it's kind of like a sleeper story. I don't see a lot of people making the connection here, but I think Eric Schmidt is he's a dangerous dude. I'm sure you guys would agree with me from like the privacy end of things, and you know, from the way that Google is now shaping the internet. But I don't know if you guys would agree with me on this one or not. I think Eric Schmidt is proving to be a danger to world peace. It's been, what, like 8 or 9 months since North Korea last freaked everyone out by announcing a new nuclear weapons or missile program? Recently, even recently as last week, the Hermit State looked like it was trying to rejoin the world of nations. It was announcing sweeping economic and industrial improvement plans. But earlier this month, Eric Schmidt and his daughter Sophie were in North Korea, led by U.S. diplomat and former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson. Sophie Schmidt wrote an extremely candid blog about her experience comparing life in North Korea with a never-ending Truman Show movie. Eric Schmidt wrote about how the North Koreans controlled information via dual-structured intranet/intranet and by limiting the capabilities of smartphones available to North Koreans. So you had Eric and Sophie Schmidt go visit North Korea and blog about their experience. The North Korea's been, you know, quiet or pro-Western for the last little while. But earlier today, North Korea announced a new wave of underground nuclear weapons tests combined with a resurgent missile program targeting the west coast of the United States. Well, I ask you guys, Tom and Terry, do you know what else, you know what's on the west coast of the United States?
California, and there's a little company there, isn't there? Is Eric's office on the corner there? Right on the coast?
On the west coast of the United States, Eric Schmidt's office. That's what's on the west coast of the United States. It's 3 miles from the coast.
I'd love to see the correlation on that one.
I'm positive there's a correlation. Anyway, if anyone's interested in reading about Eric Schmidt or Sophie Schmidt's adventures in North Korea, go to Google, type in their name, and North Korea blog. And at the Webmaster Radio chat room, I'm going to be throwing up the link in a few minutes. I just sort of have to log into the chat room first, and that'll take a second. But the links will be up at the chat room in just a few minutes. So, switching gears, Which of you guys uses a Mac?
I used to.
One holds a door open. Here, does that count?
Okay, so neither of you two are. I use a PC as well, so I guess none of the three of us are serious Apple fanboys.
You know, I liked my MacBook when I had it. It is not at my disposal anymore, and I'm no worse off for it. I'm using Linux, so you know.
Well, one of the things about Mac and about Apple is the almost cult-like following of users, and you know. I'm not going to say that a PC is better than a Mac or a Mac is better than a PC. I just want to make sure that nobody, like, you know, threatens me for even suggesting that there's an alternative to Mac. But the fanboys of the fans of Apple are legion, and you know they're pretty vocal in their support for the company. These are the people who line up outside of electronics stores at Christmas time, waiting overnight in the cold just to get a new product. Well, tomorrow at the Sundance Film Festival, iJobs, the Steve Jobs biopic starring Anton Kuchner, premieres. It's scheduled for wide release in mid-April, and I'm curious, you know, like, you see how people freak out when their icons are portrayed in film. Anton Kuchner may be one of the highest paid actors in Hollywood. I'm not sure if he's one of the best actors in Hollywood. What do you guys think? Is he going to do a good Steve Jobs?
He always seems too cavalier whenever I see him. He's very loose. I mean, his, you know, but that could be the character he plays. I really don't like his camera commercials that he does. The cameras are fine, but you know, he's a stuck up, arrogant, kind of not likable. Hey, wait a minute. Maybe he will do a good job after all. Terry, what do you think?
What do I think? Well, I like him on 2.5 Men. I still watch that. He's no Charlie Sheen, mind you, but you know, he passes. I think he'd be pretty good in that movie. I think he's not a bad actor. Done some not bad stuff with some pretty lame parts like 70s Show and shit. So.
You know, I think Charlie Sheen would be better starring in a biopic about maybe like the affiliate marketing industry or something.
Maybe he could play
the first
Eric Smith.
20 years of my life.
Yeah, I can't wait for the mail to come in now.
I'm only a guest.
If anybody from either the Mac world or the affiliate marketing world wants to track me down, you'll have a perfect chance at Search Marketing Expo Toronto, SMX Toronto. It's happening March 18th to 21st at the Metro Toronto Convention Center. And, you know, I got to say, you're from upper New York State, so you get it, Tom. And, Terry, you're from Toronto as well, so you get it. I'm really happy to be part of the SMX experience in Toronto. I'm part of the SMX speakers and presenters. And I love it that people pay attention to the Canadian market, but having a show in Toronto in mid-March isn't usually, you know, like, that's not necessarily a great idea.
No, I wouldn't think so. I can tell you right now, you talk about how chilly it is up there, and I know you guys are experiencing far worse than we have. I'm only, what, as the crow flies, I can't be, what, more than 3 hours south of you. And we've got what's like what, minus 11 Celsius here. It's 12 degrees for all the rest of you that are all stateside like me. And I know you guys are sitting there with like 2 feet of snow and even colder temperatures, aren't you?
Not well, Toronto.
Yeah, the snow's not so bad. The temperature's pretty damn cold. But it's comparable to what you have.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. And it was really chilly a couple days ago, though. I can't imagine, you know, going any further north than I already am in the middle of March.
Oh, and yeah, I mean, like trudging through the streets covered in that grayish material that's sort of like car exhaust mixed with snow. And yep. I mean, luckily Toronto's an amazing town to be in, but this is a spring and summertime city. This is not the most pleasant place to be in the winter.
I've been to the X back when it was. Is it still over in the old Exhibition Stadium there? I was there a long time ago. And the kids play place there in Toronto. I damn near grew up in Mississauga, pretty much. So, you know, I love visiting Toronto. But, you know, and, yeah, you're right. Drudging through all the slush and whatnot. I mean, there's a Tim Hortons, like, two blocks away from the convention center there. But, you know, I live in Rochester. Anywhere in Western New York, too. I mean, we've got Tim Hortons every, like, you know, half mile now, so.
I was about to say, in Toronto, there's a Tim Hortons two blocks away from anywhere you're standing.
Yeah.
And if there isn't, there ought to be.
I've got one a quarter mile from my house in both directions, actually. So, you know.
Excellent. You see, this is actually this part of the plan. We're slowly taking over America, one storefront, one newscaster, and one famous actor at a time.
Lake really moderates the temperature here, though, Tom. It's a lot colder you get up where Dave is, and a lot more snow.
Yeah.
Dave Harry, he lives north of Toronto.
No, oh, you mean Dave Harry? Dave? Oh, indeed.
Yeah, yeah.
I was about to say, Dave, yeah, Dave, you get a lot more snow where Dave is. He's
I'm Whistler, I guess so.
Ask that mountain up.
Hope so, or there's going to be a lot of people starving for business.
Okay, back to the SEO world. Back to SMX Toronto first. Maybe March isn't the right time to have a conference in Toronto, but SMX is the right kind of conference to have in Toronto. And Tom, Terry, are you guys going to be there?
You know, I don't have any plans at the moment to be there. I was considering pitching to speak, but Toronto, the Toronto market. Even when I do SES Toronto, I mean, it's not the same market as what I'm used to speaking at. So it's tough. I might shoot up there just for a day, just to peek in on things. But you know, there's some interesting tracks. I will certainly say there are definitely some interesting tracks in SMX Toronto. The advanced track is usually up my alley, pretty much. So that's always cool. But no, at the moment, I'd say no, not yet.
Yeah. How about you, Tara? Are you thinking of dropping down?
Oh, SMX, yeah, that ain't going to happen that I ever speak there.
Okay.
I usually catch people afterwards, you know, you and a few others, but I don't speak at SMX.
Well, this year, my company, Digital Always Media, we're doing both the workshops preceding SMX Toronto, and if we can get it together, it looks like we're sponsoring a party. So, Terry, I come on down.
Oh, I checked that out for sure.
Absolutely. When's the party? You know, if there's a party, you let me know. I will certainly be there.
I'm tentatively looking at the night of the 20th. That would be the Wednesday night. Only problem is my business partner, Alan Connect, informed me there is a Leafs home game that night.
That'll put a damper on her.
You do not plan a party in a bar in downtown Toronto when there's a Leafs home game on.
Absolutely not.
That's a bad idea.
That's a hard one to get me out of the house.
I mean, it's tough enough being in that bar with all those people going to watch a losing game. I mean, you know.
Hey,
now, come on. You called it out before.
I'm going to surprise you.
I am a Sabres fan, and, you know, the surprise was that it was only 1-0. No.
Without Miller, we would have killed him the other night.
Yeah,
there's your point,
that's
though.
A little more accurate.
Pretty good last night.
I think so.
And maybe with a good forward or two, you know, you guys would have killed us too. But you know,
yeah. Name one forward on Buffalo that outscored Grabowski, Kessel, or Lupo last year.
No, you can't. And that's been, we're getting off topic again.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Sabres have never had a star on anybody. I'm serious. If you want to tangent off, we will. The Sabres have never had anybody up top that's been good.
Okay, gentlemen. I want to hearken this part of the conversation back to Facebook and all the people on Facebook, myself included. You can't believe a word you read on Facebook. Not a damn word. Because, I mean, I was so mad at the NHL. I was so, so ticked off. And the truth is, human behavior is human behavior. And this is, I mean, you know what? This is an action item for all Webcology listeners out there. If your product is addicting enough, you can kill your entire fan base and you'll still get customers. Take the cigarette industry, for instance. Well, the NHL took a book from the Philip.
Killing your fan base. That's a good segue.
Indeed. But you know what? I got to tell you, I'm mad at my own hypocrisy. I'm all over Facebook screaming at the NHL, I'm never coming back. I'm not going to watch another one of your damn games again. Screw you guys. And, of course, I'm, you know, Saturday night comes around, and what am I going to do? Hockey night in Canada.
It's inbred, man. I don't know what to do with myself on a Saturday night.
True. Yeah, but that has a lot to do with Don Cherry and not the product itself, maybe. Well, maybe it does. I don't know.
Nah, it stems from childhood. That was the big night for us. My father was home from work. That was like a family night. Watch the hockey game.
And in this technological age, you know, this is one thing that continues to bind us. And it ain't Don Cherry. Screw him. I hate that man. But anyway, yeah, just the quick action item, friends. If you have a product that people love, you can make a comeback. Just, you know, be really addictive.
Put a self-imposed deadline out there that is fairly arbitrary and make it sound like the world is going to end if you don't meet it and pull it out in the 0 hour and everyone will love you twice as much.
Sounds like the American government with their physical cliff and everything else, you know.
There's that too.
Hey, you know what? It seems that strategy is working for both parties at their bases. Mm. So there you go. Okay, I got another couple things on my schedule of stuff to talk about, although we're quickly burning through it. A week and a half ago, Danny posted an article, Why People Hate SEO. I'm Danny Sullivan, not to be mistaken with Danny Goodwin. Noting all the spam emails and just crappy offers that just seem to have popped up in the industry again. That's one thing I want to talk about. Another thing I want to talk about is the Vatican and social media. The Pope sees social media as portals to the truth. I think we can talk both of those to death, or at least to purgatory, when we come back. But before we do that, before we talk ourselves into purgatory or into hell or wherever the heck we're going to end up, we got to take a break for a commercial here on Whipcology on WebmasterRadio.fm. So, on behalf of Tom Craver and Terry Van Horn, who were good enough to join us, for Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO, who's skiing down a hill in Whistler right now, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. Stick around. We're back on Webcology after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break.
Oh, yeah. My day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Building better search engine rankings takes the right formula. Tracking those rankings is super simple. All you need is AuthorityLabs.com. Authority Labs uses automated daily rank tracking tools to monitor your site's performance or leverage their API to build your own tools. No matter what animal-labeled algorithms affect your ranking, you should be using Authority Labs. Unlimited users for no additional cost and white labeling can help keep your clients updated and save countless hours of creating reports. Whether you're running sites with just a few or millions of keywords, what you need is AuthorityLabs.com.
Aim clear. This is how you sell with social.
Have you tried to do CPA conversions using social PPC and failed? You're not alone. These days, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube require true specialists to dominate.
Aim Clear, the agency,
brings definitive psychographic targeting,
bleeding edge creative,
and killer content amplification to the social advertising table.
Aim Clear, this is how you sell with social. Aim Clear, this is how you sell with social.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media, not joined by Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO, because Dave has decided that going down a hill is more... Not Dave. Dave's on vacation with his family. I do have Terry Van Horn and Tom Craver sitting in. And in a few minutes, Christine Sassinger is going to be joining us. But before we get to Christine, fellas, the holiday break always brings an uptick in SEO spam email. I've been doing this for like a decade and a half or longer. I have no idea how long I've been doing this, but it always happens. It never fails. And every year around this time, we deal with the SEOR snake oil, SEOR used car salesman, SEOR scum articles. And every year around this time, Danny Sullivan writes his annual "No, they're not scum" article. And I just wanted to revisit that again with you guys today. First off, have you seen the uptick in silly SEO spammy emails?
Absolutely. I get them constantly, but you're right. You know, I didn't really stop to notice it until you just said it. But yeah, absolutely. Every, you know, right when the Christmas season starts to hit, absolutely. Just a whole bunch of them coming in, and we can do this, this, and this, and we can rank you first. And I'm like, really? And we've looked at your site. If you looked at my site, you'd know that I do this for myself, you know?
Yeah. Indeed. Especially, I love the ones that they actually personalized your gym. Or because our contact form comes to info@digitalalways, so I often get "Dear Alan," my business partner's name.
Yeah, that's personalized.
But they have no idea about what's on the page.
Oh, no, they do. They look at your site, and they think they can help you out and get you ranked at the top of Google because they don't ever mention what keyword to rank you for or what, you know, vertical you might be in, but they're going to rank you first.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do companies like this – like, I've never known this. How do they stay in business? They have to be taking checks from somebody. They got to be taking a PayPal payment. They got to be processing a credit card.
They're doing this stuff other guys don't want to do, other companies that don't want to do. I mean, people who are hiring SEOs from a newsletter are not Procter & Gamble, are not Fortune 500 companies. They're ma and pa guys who can't afford, you know, a major. Like, these days, there are so many companies that I feel sorry for. And when that's when, you know, a lot of people think I'm kind of, no, hard on them, because I just say, well, you know, they don't have the budget to place. Just like I can't afford a store in Eaton, so I don't have one there. It's the same thing in SEO. That's an old mindset that will have to change, in my opinion.
Yeah, you get it everywhere, though, too. I completely agree with you. Your Eaton's example is great, Terry. You know, you look around and you can see, you know, I need some laundry detergent and some, you know, other household items or whatever, you know. So I can go to, like, you know, I'll use a Canadian reference. I can go to, like, a Zeller's, or I can go to, you know, Canadian Tire or wherever. Or I can go to, like, the little dollar, you know, store place down the corner. You see this with web hosting. You see, like, you know, $5 web hosting or $2 web hosting with unlimited disk space and unlimited bandwidth and blah, blah, blah. And you see it with SEO, too, unfortunately. And it's just sad. It's all those people who... well, my cousin can do it cheaper, or I can go to this little $2 company here and do this. So that's what they're doing. And, you know, those are the people that are preying on the small businesses who really can't afford to do it and think, wow, this is a good deal.
Well, and this is something that...
probably, you know, if they did it right, it could work for them. Just expecting to get results overnight is, you know, ridiculous.
Well, this is something that's been bothering me for several months now. Dave and I have actually tried to put a show together on this, and we failed because we couldn't get the information. We all cut our teeth on working with small and medium-sized businesses. At one time, the small business market was my bread and butter. But they can't afford me anymore, and I can't afford to serve them. And how do you guys cope with that when you have a smaller business?
That's a problem that our industry has to address. The fact that you and I used to work a quarter what we do today, right? Those people still need service, and they should expect the same service we gave. Only the thing is, I don't think the people that come into the industry now have the wherewithal or the get up and go to actually go and learn stuff themselves. They're all too busy just regurgitating what's in the blogosphere. Well, so those people will never get the kind of service that we've given in the past.
Well, that, be that as it may, you know, they might be regurgitating information they read in the blogosphere or read in forums, and it may even be misinformation. The simple dollars and cents of running a productive search marketing campaign requires, do on-page work. You got to do a hell of a lot of research. You have to have some involvement in the social media, at least to be driving traffic. It's a much larger effort today than it was back in the olden days when you had to sort of look at Alta Vista in a threatening manner and it did what you wanted.
And what's exacerbating that? You cannot get sites ranked now by just using foundational linking.
No.
Right?
No, I
think those days are pretty much in the past as far as I can see.
Okay, and so to do a proper job for a client, and I don't want to take a client's money if I can't do a, you know, what I consider a quote unquote proper job. I got to take a hell of a lot of money off them to actually do the scale of services that are necessary, and that is now pricing the smaller operators, the smaller businesses. It's pricing ma and pa out of the market. Is that just me?
Unfortunately, it is.
I mean, it's not that I'm a greedy bastard, right?
No, but it's everywhere, Jim. It's a matter of, you know, for starters, the better you are at your trade, and this is true in any trade, the better you are at your trade, you are differentiated now because you deliver results or you deliver the intent that the customer was going in there expecting and usually exceeding that. And so when you become that good at your trade, you just naturally demand a better rate. And the people that are just starting off are so cutthroat that just to get into the business and get a little experience and say, oh, yeah, we did such and such for so-and-so, and try to get some stats under the belt and say, yeah, we actually met their objective. I don't think many of them realize objectives, though. So they're going to go in and do whatever is cheap. You know, my take on this is not just that, but, you know, SEO, you know, us people who've been in this a little longer, you know, SEO came from a bigger phrase, SEM, that we all used to talk about, but that's kind of gone along the wayside, and that was search engine marketing. And I think too many SEOs nowadays, like Terry was alluding to, focus on the technical. Let me get you ranked. Let me get you this. Let me do the traditional linking and on-page stuff and stuff some keywords and page saturation percentage and blah, blah. They're all technical. But I think a lot of them, many of them, forget about the marketing side of it. And well, truly, I mean, right?
Oh,
there is an objective here somewhere.
Tom, I agree with you and disagree with you. Here's why. They aren't actually even technical SEOs. They're just link whores. I mean, most of the third generation SEOs I talk to, you ask them, how do you move a rank automatically? Oh, you get more links.
Okay,
you ask me, I say you fix your site and work around. You don't need a whole bunch of links. I've proven that. That's
I do want to jump in.
Big difference.
Yeah.
And that's totally true, although I do want to jump in and note that I think we're probably on our fifth, maybe even sixth generation of SEOs. And, you know,
well, four, I'd say, with the new generation being post-Panda.
There's a number of different ways to get into the field. We've been generalizing a lot about younger SEOs, and
well, they're the future. If we don't improve the guys at the bottom, Jim, there's going to be nothing for us.
I agree with you. I'm also looking at one of my staff members sort of freaking out on Skype going, I'm not a link whore. She's a newer SEO who's being mentored, and I hope she's being mentored well. I guess time will be the judge of that, but, you know, into what, you know, I'd like to think is a responsible form of search engine optimization and web document marketing. So I just wanted to get that in there. There is a bunch of younger SEOs who are coming
up
the right way. Who are coming up the right way and learning the right things, or what we believe to be the right things.
Well, the thing is, in the old days, when I started, almost everyone had a technical background. i.e. we were webmasters who there was not enough work just building websites. So we did marketing. We did everything just so we could employ ourselves. I mean, when that was another reason why the prices were lower, demand.
Uh-huh. Right?
Literally, my first jobs I did for free because nobody wanted to pay me. So I did them for free to kind of show, you know.
Yeah, for me, it was kind of organically. I had my own agency. I was doing web hosting and web development. I was a very technical person. And, you know, I'm sure, Terry, you're probably very similar story too, right? People would come to you and say, okay, so now you've built it. They're going to come, right? And I got sick of saying, yeah. You know, so you go and you learn, and you learn that there's this whole side that is not technical. That's, wait for it, marketing. And you need to actually present a good face and build a brand. And online stuff was no different than anything you'd do offline. Only at the time, it was a lot cheaper. Now it's, you know, it's just as much hard work and it's just as expensive to compete.
Listen, it's probably more expensive to do some online campaigns than it is to do some of the stuff that I used to do offline, like telemarketing.
Mm. It can be, it you is. Know, in some cases it can be.
Can show you lots of cases where it's probably cheaper. Cheaper than PPC, that's for fucking sure. Excuse me.
Whoop, there goes our iTunes rating.
Sorry.
That's okay. Hell, it happens. The Pope's going to get you for that if he hears. We'll get to that later. I'm really enjoying this conversation. Chop, you got a few more minutes to stick around? I know that we have Christine waiting on the line. And actually, I wouldn't mind bringing her in because small business SEO is really near and dear to my heart. And it how to say this? I find it heartbreaking that I can't find the right formula to serve this sector. Hmm.
More
automation indeed. Well, that's the problem. I don't
know. The business owner has to be like he is in a lot of things, more proactive on his own behalf.
Well,
indeed, doing the work with direction from someone who knows what they're doing.
And
we're sitting here, by the way, I just got another spam.
Oh, indeed.
Seriously, I kid you not.
Another dear Thom.
Get our free SEO guide and we can help you. Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Rank first. Uh-huh, sure. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no.
It just came in.
Very apropos. It's like we're in the days of the link chasers again. And, Terry, I'm dead on with you. That's not SEO. That's link chasing.
Never was. It's a different type. I call it website promotion. It's always been in that genre because it's actually a type of marketing. Like, to do good, if you're really good at linking, you're a master marketer, knows how to find and find the audience. That's
mm-hmm. You know what? Direct mailing is a form of marketing. It's not the kind of form of marketing that I think many of us chose to go into, but it's certainly a form of marketing, right?
I've done it in the past.
You know what? It's still very effective. In some cases, for some verticals, it is probably the most effective.
Mm-hmm. So we could call link building or the link acquisition schemes that many of the, as Terry described them, third-gen SEOs were on or are still on, based on the spam messages we're all getting. That's a form of marketing. But as Danny Sullivan says, if you're going to give somebody $5,000, really learn what you're giving them $5,000 for.
I don't think guys like that get $5,000, to be quite honest. That's like an assumption that's over the top. Sorry.
For what it's worth, Danny was pulling from somebody else's quote who said, I gave an SEO company
$5,000. Good, because to me, that's – if you're paying $5,000 a month to someone, you're not getting bullshit.
I don't know if they were paying $5,000 a month there, Terry. I don't know if they were paying per month. That's what you pay us, you know.
Yeah, that's what I, you know, that's what I was thinking. Or,
yeah, no, I think if you're a small business,
got to know the context.
True. If you're a small business, I don't care if you're paying $5,500 or $5. You need to know exactly what you're getting yourself into, especially the small businesses. You know, $500 to a small business, to some small businesses, is a ton of money. They will spend it if they know they can get their return, but they will really miss out on that if the return doesn't happen for them. And that could, you know, make or break a quarterly budget for them in some cases. And are those the people we want to target? Well, who says they're not just as viable as anybody else? But the problem is, if you don't know what you're buying, I mean, it's a caveat emptor everywhere you look, right? If you don't know what you're getting and what you're expecting to get out of that money that you're investing, then, you know, you really should be like second-guessing that.
But, well, Tom, that's almost true for everything. People hiring SEOs at any level.
Well, that will open the door, you see, to that being, is it really these spammy SEOs, or is it the audience that these spammy SEOs are targeting?
Or a bit of both.
Hmm.
I want to note something that Terry said a few beats back, where I think he nailed it on the head. It really is up to the business owner to be proactive, and the only way to serve small businesses, it's the conclusion I came to a few months ago, and I'm not happy with it, but it's what I got, is to have them do the work under our instruction, because I can't devote the hands-on time. I can barely devote the instruction time. And on that,
even better would be like a seminar, Jim, where we could have them come into a place and, you know.
If speaking of seminars, there's these two great workshops that are going to be organized for SMX Toronto on the 18th and 19th, run by Digital Always Media, one on social media, one on integrated SEO. And on that, I'm getting messaged. Tom has a meeting he's got to get off to. So, Tom Craver, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, I'll catch you later, Tom.
My pleasure, gentlemen. It's always a pleasure.
And you know what, Terry? That's a great time to take a break. We're going to be coming back and bringing Christine Sassinger into the conversation. But before we do, I want to again say thanks to Tom Craver for jumping in, heroically spending another 40 minutes on radio after doing SDW Weekly at 1 o'clock. Friends, stick around. We're coming back, as I said, with Christine Sassinger. So this is on behalf of Terry Van Horn. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You're listening to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. Back after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break.
Rise, links, and web indexes. Take a bow to the largest link map in the world. Majestic SEO. Majestic SEO wields its virtual sword with speed and accuracy to deliver detailed reports of your company's link data and that of your competition. Let Majestic SEO make you your own king of internet marketers and join the crusade of clients and agencies that have chosen the noble choice for link intelligence. MajesticSEO.com. Maximize ROI to use your time and let Majestic wield its mighty sword. MajesticSEO.com. It's good to be king.
Johnson, what's this mantis I keep hearing about? Do we need to call an exterminator?
No, sir. Moby Mantis is our new SMS marketing tool.
SM what?
SMS. Text messaging. Moby Mantis lets us communicate directly with our customers in real time. We can send promos, coupons. It even lets our customers market for us by sharing offers with their friends online. It's been great for business.
Sounds expensive.
Actually, I sign us up for an extended free trial. It hasn't cost us a dime.
Good work, Johnson. I guess the only thing we'll be exterminating is the competition.
To get your free extended trial of Moby Mantis, text radio to 21691. That's radio to 21691 for Moby Mantis.
Celebrating the best in online advertising, the Web Marketing Association presents the 11th Annual Internet Advertising Competition Awards. Submit your banner ads, email ads, rich media, online newsletters, websites, and social media campaigns now by going to www.iacaward.org. Deadline for entries is January 31st, 2013. All winners will have their entry highlighted on the Internet Advertising Competition website, as well as receive a handsome trophy to display or a personalized certificate of achievement. Be honored among your online advertising peers by submitting your entry today into the Web Marketing Association's 11th Annual IAC Awards. Go to www.iacaward.org now.
commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. You have half the hosts. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. Dave is on vacation with his family this week, but we're joined by Terry Van Horn and suddenly joined by Christine Sassinger. Terry, you've been around, so I'm going to say thank you for sticking around. And Christine, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Hey.
Yeah, we can hear you just fine.
Cool.
So we've been talking about a whole bunch of stuff, from how Eric Schmidt has become a danger to the free world to SMX. SMX Toronto, Aaron Kushner starring in iJobs, the Steve Jobs biopic, opening tomorrow at Sundance. Danny Sullivan's article, Why People Hate SEO, and Christine, we saved the most fun one for you.
Okay.
Because, well, you are a social media maven. You are all over Twitter, all over Facebook. You know, you're just one of those folks who is all over the social media, and, well, this week, one of the oldest and largest institutions in the world joined the social media, the Pope, the Vatican, Pontifex, is now a Twitter address, and the Pope wants to hear from you. As a matter of fact, the Pope wants people of the Catholic faith to go out and use social networks like Twitter and Facebook to win converts. Now, Christine, I'm curious. What do you think? Is that a winning strategy? Is that going to work for them?
Well, it could, depending on which Catholics they're talking to. I was raised Catholic. I'm not practicing anymore. But, you know, there is a certain part of the Catholic Church that considers itself like a little hip. So, you know, priests can drink and they like to hang out and have, you know, parties, so.
Boy, I am so desperately trying to keep our iTunes rating.
We'll stay away from all the negative stuff of the church, but I mean, you know, so I don't think it's that out of the realm of the Catholic Church to be on social media.
Okay. Now, we've seen a lot of companies who, you know, have good to neutral reputations just make terrible, earth-shattering mistakes in social media. Wouldn't you think that a religious organization, especially one the size of the Catholic Church, I just can't help but see that being a really dangerous place for them to be. The Pope, one of the things the Pope said was he sees social media as portals of truth.
I can't see that, because the Pope is, you know, is given the job by the, you know, the big guy. So I could see where they believe they're the portal of truth, of course. And since they were the original church in the book, so the new book, not the old book. You know, I can see where that would be coming from. Is it a possibility for a PR nightmare? Of course, sure. But I'm sure that stuff is all pretty heavily scrutinized before it goes out there. Fairly organized religion at this point.
Now, at Pontifex has been active for about 8 weeks now. He already has 2.5 million followers through well, apparently through 8 different Twitter accounts, one of which is written exclusively in Latin. Is that allowable?
To be written in Latin?
No, to have 8 different Twitter accounts for the same guy.
Isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I only have several.
Did they put a restriction on Twitter that you can't have more than one account? Is that new?
Oh, I understood that Twitter wanted one account per person, and they want to use your true name.
Well, everyone wants you to do that, but we know why. That's a whole other conversation. But,
well, it may be time to move ourselves to that conversation soon. I can see that this Catholic thing was only a fad. It doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Google is moving forward with its attempts to replace passwords with a key fob.
Oh, not just a key fob. They also want biometrically controlled computers.
Now, Christine, I know you can go on about the privacy implications about this, but I'm curious, Terry, what do you think about Google trying to control basically your real identity in relation to the internet?
FDIC.
Well, I have so many, they can't decide which one.
Oh,
it's really me.
They can.
Any given day, I could be on Google Plus and under five different profiles.
Five different IP addresses?
Same one.
Well, there you go. So,
all plugged into different accounts when I'm doing it.
But they already know that you're from the same IP address, so that's not five different people.
It could be five different computers sharing an IP.
Yeah, but remember, when they do identity, see, we have a mistaken concept of identity. We believe identity is our name and our face, but that's a very limited concept of identity. When you do algorithmic identity, you also look at relationships and patterns and how people even word their sentences. Even so, yeah. Go ahead.
Not off, Christine, but even personal search isn't actually personal. It's group search, actually.
Currently.
Explain that to me one time. I was a little surprised that it's not actually personal search. You're put into a group.
Well, the thing is, though, with the NSTIC program, it's a little different because they have to identify you as you. So, but the point being is that the Kurzweiler came out just a couple weeks ago and said Google already knows what you do. They know your conversations. They know your voice chats. And they know what you say. So, and he was talking about in the next level of search that they're going to. But also,
how do they have voice chats?
What's that?
How do they have voice chats on Skype? I would believe that if Bing had them. I don't think Google does.
People use Google Voice.
Yeah, there's also Google
voice
Plus and the Hangout
and Hangouts and chat and all that stuff.
I love that Ray Kurzweiler is working with Google. It terrifies me that Ray Kurzweiler is working with Google.
One of the top guys. Is that the guy who does the work with natural language and telephone devices?
No, Kurzweiler was one of the original cyber. How would you phrase this? He was one of the original cyber intellectuals. He was predicting the internet back in the late 70s.
He's here in 5 days.
Say what?
He's speaking here in 5 days.
In Las Vegas?
Yeah, I'm going to go see him.
Excellent. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, they also had one of the top guys in the world at analyzing and getting sentiment out of phone calls and stuff. That's what actually Google Voice was all about, was getting all those signals so they could learn about that kind of stuff.
Absolutely unsurprisingly. I think this is a new world that people our age are, well, I'm not going to say that we're unprepared for. As a matter of fact, we've been prepared for this through dystopian literature our entire lives.
Yep.
But it's definitely something that spooks us, frightens us, far more than it seems to spook or frighten the younger geniuses preparing these systems, or the mass of netizens using these systems.
Think about it, Jim. Most of what we saw in Star Trek are now actual devices that work.
Certainly. Certainly. Now, that they're working doesn't amaze me as much as our philosophies on our relationship to technologies are changing. Well, growing up, privacy was everything. It was very important.
There's a reason for that, though, Jim, and that is the younger generation didn't grow up with a recent memory of a Hitler or a communist society, right? Where the actualities of totalitarian control really were every day in your part of your mind. So these are things that, unless they really are familiar, like with Iran or something of that nature, they don't really understand that privacy actually is an important thing and can actually, if it's taken from you, can lead to things like Iran. Remember, Iran not that long ago was becoming a democratic, leaning towards a democratic society, and that was all taken against them. And now all these technologies are used against them to repress their people who still generally lean towards, in the educated and the civilized area, I shouldn't say civilized, wrong term, but in the more modern areas are much more Western leaning, but they're repressed by their technologies. So people that haven't grown up with that day-to-day knowledge or day-to-day fear of another Hitler or another communist Russia, they probably don't understand how repressive technology can be and how it can be turned against you so quickly.
Well, saddeningly, it's many of our North American corporations. I'm looking at you, Cisco, who who make the technologies used to track and repress. Many people don't remember, but when Yahoo was forced to give away the names of several Chinese dissidents using their system, it was Cisco Systems equipment that caught those emails. So we're doing it to ourselves. We're creating, you know, we're helping create a more repressive world.
If it went through a Microsoft system, it'd be a different deal altogether. So blaming Cisco for that is, I think,
well, yeah, if it went through a Microsoft system, the Chinese officials probably wouldn't have caught it. Indeed. It wouldn't have worked.
Well, when they did, when Nokia developed this, the tracking system that was used against the Iranians, to track them down to GPS level in their homes, and their everything was recorded, and it was put on a system where someone could just sit at a screen and watch what was being done on their cell phones. There actually was a bill put to Congress that we would no longer do business with companies that develop systems like that for other countries. Now, our country, that's a different story, but for other countries. So that actually did really hurt Nokia. If you look back at the timing of that, that's when their company went way down on their stock prices and their earnings.
Well, I honestly don't think that we're going to see a – sadly, I don't think we're going to see a major privacy backlash in our society until something extraordinary happens to cause such a backlash. The publishing of information about gun owners in Upper New York State, for instance, in that local newspaper, wherever you sit on the gun debate, that was an extraordinary thing to see happen. I'd say extraordinarily bad thing to see happen. Total invasion of people's privacy, even though those are public records.
But isn't that also, Jim, go into the fact that we were raised with books and tactile things? Kids now start using computers and stuff in school almost right away. So they just have more contact with technology and are less suspicious than we were.
The interesting part is the kids of the executives at places like Google don't go to schools that are high on technology, which I find fascinating. I think there's some truth to that, but I also think there just really is a familiarity, like you said, with the technology, and also a lack of understanding of how quickly you can lose your rights, and also the frog in the pot theory. If you put in the frog in the pot of water and let it come to a boil, the frog won't jump out, and that's what's being done with privacy erosion instead of privacy removal.
You know, one of these days. One of these shows, we're down to our last minute, so I'm going to have to say our goodbyes pretty soon. One of these shows, we're actually going to get either the Ontario or the Canadian Privacy Commissioner to come on, Jennifer Stoddart or, sorry, Ms. Kavoukian. I'm forgetting the Ontario Privacy Commissioner's first name, Eek. And Christina, to talk with you, because I think that would be a wonderful and a truly interesting conversation. Friends, we're down to our last 30 seconds, so Sorry, no new topics. I only got time to say, Terry Van Horn, thank you so much for jumping in and helping out when we found we needed a co-host 15 minutes before the show. Christine, as always, thank you so much for joining us here on Webcology.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Always a gas doing this show.
It's always a pleasure, Terry, and always a pleasure, Christine. Friends, you've listened to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media saying goodbye for Dave in absentia for Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO. Stay tuned to WebmasterRadio.fm. We've got some great content coming up after the news.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.